As I said last week, ministry is not a spectator sport. So we are all in this together. The more that everybody is involved, the more that it gives, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit gives him more freedom. You know, if we're sitting here and we're focused on what we're doing afterwards, you know, anything else, if we're sitting there playing with our phones, you know, it affects the spirit. And you know, God doesn't take those things lightly. He said, you know, the word says don't quench the spirit. So if you are doing anything contrary to what is going on, it's not that God's going to get you, but there will be consequences. You know, we won't go there. Okay. Just a word to the wise. Be part of what God is doing when you're here. Amen? When you leave here, it's between you and God. But here, be part of what God is doing. As I said last week, you know, we may mess it up at times. We may miss it at times. But we've got to do something to find out if we're doing it right or wrong. Yes, so it goes along with what our message is, what we started last week, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to start out in John chapter 16, verse 7, verses I read last week. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." That's one thing he'll do. "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." So when we know it's the Holy Spirit, we know it's safe, because the Holy Spirit can only speak what God has spoken or what Jesus has spoken. Amen. So if it's anything different than that, it's not the Holy Spirit. "And he will tell you of things to come." Don't we need to know about things to come? Amen. Well, that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. It's not for a few chosen. This is to anybody that's a child of God. Amen. God will tell you through the Holy Spirit things to come. "He will glorify me." You know, anything that's not glorifying to God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, then it is questionable whether it's coming from God. "For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As I said, also said last week, you know, we're talking about hearing from the Holy Spirit, but we're hearing from God, we're hearing from Jesus, we're hearing from the Holy Spirit. They're interchangeable. You know, everything that's the God source, but it comes through Jesus, comes through the Holy Spirit. So whichever one you want to say, it doesn't really matter, because you're hearing from the same source, okay? Okay, so ways the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We started on this last week, and so this is what we're going to continue. And so the first one we talked about was the Word of God. One of the ways the Holy Spirit or God speaks to us is through His Word. So just to raise your hand, did God speak to anybody this week through His Word? Raise your hand. Okay, so we got a few of you that God spoke through His Word. Okay? The next one we talked about was the inward witness. And the inward witness is kind of a red light, green light thing. I have peace to do this, or I don't have peace. I feel, you know, it feels kind of scratchy inside, feels kind of yucky inside. So anybody raise your hand that you had, the Holy Spirit spoke to you this way this past week, through peace or not peace, okay? Some of you did this one, had this one. Okay, the next one we talked about was the checklist, for lack of a better word, and that's the scripture, you know, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is, the, you know, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we talked about there's these three checklists. So you have, you know, when we make a decision, we have to go by this, need to go by this checklist to know whether it's God or not. Can I walk in righteousness? Can I walk in, you know, life as it should be? You know, what Jesus paid the price for, the life that Jesus wants me to have, whether I'm experiencing it or not right now, is this decision or is what I'm about to do, is this going to result that I can walk in righteousness? Is this going to result that I can walk in peace, that I will have peace? You know, things around me may be chaotic, but inside me, in down and deep inside me, I have peace. And the third one, joy. Am I going to have joy? Am I going to be able to be joyful in this decision that I make? So that three checklist, righteousness, peace, and joy. Anybody have this operating your life? Okay? So we have something with that one too. Okay, let's see. Where is the next one we have? The inward voice. And remember the inward voice? We were talking about that still, small voice. And we could call it, you know, you may think of it as a hunch, a perception, an idea, an impression, a thought, but it's not a head thought. It's an inside you. Anybody have the Spirit speak to them through this during this past week? That was with me with the bees. It was just, you know, look that way. Yes, yes. And this is one, you know, as I said, this is one that I have, you know, been working on developing, or the Holy Spirit's developing it through me these past couple years, and it's something that has really made a difference in my life. And it's very, you know, with this one, it's very subtle. You know, it's not like, you know, don't do that or do that. You know, it's a very subtle impression sometimes, but it's just choosing to do it or not do it, and that's, you know, that's how we find out whether it's God or not. Okay, where are we down to? Okay, I want to look at a scripture, Acts chapter 2, verse 17, before we go to this next three that we were working on last week. Acts 2, verse 17, this is a quoting, Peter's talking, and he's quoting a scripture that was in Joel. And it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams." So whether you see visions or whether you have dreams, I guess it indicates how old you are. here we see that Scripture says, and we have several examples of visions and trances, the two we talked about, and then we'll talk about dreams a little bit here. And anybody have a vision or a trance this past week? If you do, I want to talk to you later. Yeah. Okay, so we talked about visions, and visions, trances, and dreams. Now, I haven't studied this out in detail, but when you look at biblical references, the only thing different about dreams, it seems, you know, people were sleeping. But other than that, the message that comes, I haven't seen anything different whether a person is in a trance when God speaks and shows them things. A lot of times it's an experiential kind of a thing. You know, so whether that's a dream, a trance, or a vision, I don't see a difference on the results. But different, you know, dreaming, obviously you're sleeping. Visions, you know, is you awake, and trance, you're awake, is the differences, the only differences I can see. But then there's examples, you know, I didn't look it up again, but I believe in John and Revelation, it says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." So that's another way that, you know, whether this would be a vision or a trance, I don't know, but he says, "I was in the Spirit." So when we are in the Spirit, we can experience all sorts of things that we don't experience when we're in the flesh. So once again, you know, God is good, and everything about God is good, and every experience he wants us to have is good, and, you know, so it's, you know, draw closer to God. Why wouldn't you want to? It's just good stuff. Okay, so the one we did visions and trances, talked a little bit about them last week. So dreams, there's lots of examples of dreams. You know, it's interesting that when you look in Scripture, the last reference you see of a dream is that Acts chapter 2. There's no, unless they use a different word, I didn't study it out in detail, but the last reference I saw was in before Jesus came and you know, came to earth and died and, you know, went to hell and was resurrected. So I don't know if there's any significance to that or not. But we see in the Old Testament, there was a lot of dreams. Remember, Joseph in the Old Testament, if you look, and I'm not going to look it up, but Genesis chapter 37 in the Old Testament, you see Joseph, and he had dreams. He had several dreams, and then he interpreted dreams. And you see the same thing with Daniel. He interpreted dreams, which is something else. You know, we can have the ability to do is interpret dreams. I believe that God still uses dreams. Why there isn't reference to it, I don't know. Like I said, I don't say that their dreams aren't true anymore, because then you have that Peter said dreams, you know, old men will dream dreams. So, but those are the scriptural reference. And then you see Joseph in the New Testament in the book of Matthew. Joseph had several dreams. I didn't realize how many times he had a dream where God spoke to him in a dream. But one of the things I think is different is before that, the Holy Spirit was not in people. So God used different ways. I think God used dreams more than he would use them now. I don't know. You know, like I said, this is just conjecture. I don't know. But dreams is another way that God can speak to us and will speak to us if necessary. Okay, the next one is the audible voice of God or Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 3, and we hear this Paul on the road to Damascus, and he says, well, he was Saul at this point. And it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So we see here that Saul heard a voice. I don't know, I don't remember whether Saul, is there any indication in Scripture that Saul saw something, or if he just heard the voice? I don't know. But obviously he heard an audible voice, and he had a conversation with this voice. So like I said, I know there's other references to it, so you'd have to look it up and tell me whether it was visual too. But we do know it was an audible voice, okay? Another way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us is through the gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 8, says, for one, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So let's look at these. If you go back, it says, to one given word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is a way for God to speak to someone. It may not be, you know, I may not get a word of wisdom for myself, but someone else will give a word of wisdom and it will be to me. And remember, word of wisdom is something about what? There's a key word. Future. Word of wisdom is God telling you something about your future, okay? Or about somebody's future. And then to the next one, the word of knowledge. Now, once again, word of knowledge is more likely me or someone else giving it to me, or me giving a word of knowledge to someone else. What's the difference between word of wisdom and word of knowledge? Wisdom is future. Knowledge is present or past. So if someone, you know, you have a word for someone and you say, you know, 20 years ago this happened to you, or you can say, you know, right now you are in pain and this is your pain, you know, this is where your pain is, kind of thing. So it can be past or present, and then wisdom is future. But these are the gifts that I'm talking about, that every one of you has the capability. If you're born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the capability of operating in these gifts. So as I said, when we're doing ministry, you need to be open to allowing God to speak to you, and maybe you will be able to minister, have something that will minister to the person who needs ministry that day, or maybe at a different time. But as I said, as part of training, you know, you should never give a personal prophecy or a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, one of these kind of individual things. You should never do it without a witness, especially as you're learning, okay? So always have someone, you know, someone who's, you know, obviously born again, someone who's in the Lord. Obviously, if you're doing it out there, you may not have anybody. But here, that's why you practice here. Always have someone who can witness it and can confirm. Yeah, this is the word. They'll have the confirmation. They should have the confirmation in them, or else they should at least know that I don't have anything, that it's not God, so we'll presume that it is God. And sometimes that's how it works. You know, somebody else may not have the same thing you do, but they will know at least it is God. So if someone else says, that doesn't sit right with me, well, then you need to put a hold on it. And it doesn't mean that, you know, don't give up. But as I said, we're all learning. Everybody, I don't care how long you've been born again, how established, how experienced you are in the gifts of the Spirit, we can all mess up. But we have to try. The only way to know whether it's the voice of God or not is you have to step out. You have to do something with it. If nothing else, then write it down. If you're not brave enough to give it, at least write it down so you know in the future, yes, that was God. No, that wasn't God. Okay? So it's a practice by learning. Anything we learn, it's not like all of a sudden, okay, you have all the gifts, you know everything. You know, no, it doesn't work that way. So why do we look at it that way? You know, why do we look at it that, oh, I don't know if I have it right, or I just have a little bit, or well, do something. Amen. Allow the Holy Spirit to step in and operate through you. Amen? Amen. You know, I was just we were listening to a CD by James Richards, and he was talking about ministering in I think Mexico or something, and he was talking about all these phenomenal miracles that were happening, and he flat out said, I don't know why they happened. Wasn't anything I did. It was God. I didn't do anything. You know, it wasn't that, you know, he felt that he was so anointed and he had all this power. No, you've got to step out. You've just got to do it. Nike, just do it. Amen. And allow God to give God the opportunity, give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to operate through you. Huh? Sound like Diane, not Nike? Oh, okay. Just do it, Diane. You gotta get my own sneakers? Cody, would you buy them? Cody is our sneaker. What is he? Guru? Yes, our expert. Yeah, if you want to know anything about cool sneakers, talk to Cody. Okay, if you want to see any cool sneakers, see Cody. He's probably wearing one of them today. Okay, let's see, where are we at? So we got the word of knowledge, and then prophecy is another one that, you know, that's giving, that you're hearing it from someone else. It's not God speaking directly to you. You can receive information or answers through prophecy, discerning of spirits, and these all operate a little differently, but through discerning of spirits, you know, you can help someone else. You can receive help from someone through the gift of discerning of spirits. And tongues and interpretation of tongues. Even, you know, interpretation of tongues is the English, you know, the English interpretation, not translation, but when someone speaks in tongues, and then the interpretation, that's the, you know, the interpretation, as I said. But also tongues. I was reading an example, and I have experienced this, not to the degree that John Lake was talking about, but he was talking about, and in, like I said, I've experienced this, but having, you know, being with someone and speaking in tongues, and the other person speaking, you know, it's because we have this religious thing that says when you speak in tongues in church, it has to be interpreted. Well, I'm kind of, I know what the scripture says, and I'm not saying the scripture is not true as far as messages in tongues, but I've experienced this in a service, and I've, you know, he talks about this, but speaking in tongues to another person, and that person speaks back to you in tongues, but you don't have a clue what they're talking about in their head, but you know in your heart. You know what they're saying in your heart. So it's, you know, we need to be open. You know, I'm not telling you to go around, you know, just carry on conversation speaking in tongues. But there are times when the Holy Spirit flows that way, you know. And so anytime that, you know, I've had that happen where, you know, I just get up and speak in tongues and there's not the interpretation, but I know I'm speaking to somebody. So don't always listen for the interpretation with your head, but listen with your heart. Daisy. Correct. That's the only way to speak in tongues. You don't have a clue what you're saying. Yes. Yes. That's it. And it doesn't come through your head. You don't. We're just praying in tongues on the way in this morning and realizing there's nothing coming through my mind. I'm thinking of something totally different. It just speaks. So it's a miracle of God. Amen. Praise God. Okay. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14:13, it says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So that's another way God can speak to you individually. I'm giving you the example before. This is how Oral Roberts came up with the design for ORU of all the buildings. Because he prayed in tongues and then he interpreted. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him by doing that. And you can practice that anytime. You know, anytime you think about it, you've prayed in tongues a while, you know, stop and just speak and see what comes out in English. Sometimes it's going to be God. Other times it means absolutely nothing. Well, that's okay. You know, it's just you and God. But it's another way to practice. Amen? Allow God to speak to you. Find what works the best for you kind of a thing. You know, there's a lot of different ways that he's going to speak to us. Okay. And the last one I have is people. You know, God uses people. God uses the fivefold ministry to speak to people through. But he also uses just people. And it may be a sinner or it may be a Christian. And they may not even realize what they're saying. How many of you have ever had someone make a comment to you, a conversation, and it spoke to you? It was God. You knew it was God. Yeah, yeah. And it's not like, you know, it's, yeah, you know, speak to me, you know, give me a word, you know. That's very risky when you... But you know, God uses people. And there's probably other ways that God speaks. Maybe you've experienced other ways that God speaks. But it's that God speaks. And it's where, you know, is, well, we're going to get into the other side of it. Okay. Now, I want to share just a few things that is not, these things you don't want to count on, this list on how God does speak to you. Okay. I'm not ruling out God speaking to you in, well, we just won't go there. But these things it would be very risky for you to think that this is God. So just stay away from these things, okay? The first one is fleeces. Now, I know in the Old Testament there's a story about Gideon about a fleece. And he put the fleece out there, a literal fleece, and whether it was wet or whether it was dry, that indicated the message he got from God. Gideon lived in the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament. We live under a different covenant. God didn't have the same ways to speak to people in the Old Testament as he does in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there was the Urim and Thummim, I think. Huh? Urim and Thummim. And I've read some of about what the Urim and Thummim actually were. It was it was something weird. I mean, it was something that, you know, it wasn't a flashing light, but it was something. It was, you know, but it was Old Testament. God doesn't use, you know, weird flashing lights today generally. But it was something very unique, and you'd have to talk to somebody Jewish. They may have more insight, but I haven't heard anybody teach you what it actually was. But it was another way that God used. But that was Old Testament. We are in the New Testament. We are a new covenant. You know, Jesus, after Jesus died and went to hell and came back and went to heaven, things are different for us. Yeah. Praise God. Okay, so, I missed something. One of the things with fivefold ministry and others, it's also prophets. And with a prophet, you know, as I've told you this before, I know that in my function as a prophet, there's sometimes... Wayne and I will just be having a conversation, and generally it's a very inconvenient place because neither of us, I probably am driving or something, and neither one of us have anything to write things down, and then we forget what God spoke. But, you know, sometimes it's just general conversation, and I, as I'm speaking something, I know it's God speaking. I know it's not just me, and sometimes things will just come out. So with prophets, you know, you can have, you know, a prophet can speak to you and give you a word in just conversation. It's just part of their function. Now, I would not say that, you know, you're supposed to keep track of everything I say or any prophet, you know, everything I say because it's all from God. No, it's not. But it is a way that I have, as I said, I have experienced in the function of prophet that, you know, it has happened those times. Prophets may reveal something we haven't seen or confirm something that's already there. But, you know, with prophecy from a prophet or anybody else, just because someone, a prophet or a minister tells you something and says, thus saith the Lord, does not automatically mean it's God. As I said before, anybody can mess up. So if it's when you receive a word from somebody, if it feels yucky inside, then I would really question whether it was God. And if it doesn't sit, you know, that doesn't sound right. If nothing else, just, you know, write it down or get a copy of it and set it on the shelf. But sometimes you may receive a word, and this is why I'm saying the difference, the two things. Sometimes you may receive a word, and it's something you never thought of before, but when you hear it, it's just right. I remember the first time that Doc was here, and it's many years ago now, and he called me out, and spoke a word to me, and the word he said was miracles. And I went wild. You know, I mean, I tend to go wild in spirit anyway. But, you know, it just, and it wasn't that I knew in my head, it wasn't anything that, you know, I was praying for miracles or anything like that. But there was something inside me. And ever since then, you know, with the anointing, things about signs and wonders and miracles come out. But it's not something I'm naturally seeking, but it's like it's a God thing. So sometimes that'll happen. You receive a word and it's just something inside. Yes, yes, yes. I know that's true. Don't have a clue how it's going to happen. Don't, you know, never thought of it before, but there's just a yes, you know. And so that's, you know, that's the difference of what I'm talking about when, you know, a prophet or some other minister, whatever, gives you a word. So, okay, so back to the things we shouldn't follow guidance, and fleeces is one of them. And a fleece is basically looking at something from this perspective. If this happens, then I'm supposed to do this. So in other words, you know, like I said, we had someone years ago, they called it confirmation, but looking back, it was probably fleeces, because in the end, it was not a good decision that they made. It did not move them forward, it moved them backward. But it's, you know, okay, say, if I get this job, then it's God. Not necessarily. You know, that kind of things. You know, if this happens, if the light turns green when I pull up, then this, I'll do this. You know, I'll turn right. No, you are really putting yourself at risk when we make decisions based on that kind of thing. And that's basically what we're talking about when we're talking about a fleece, okay? Another one is circumstances. If we, you know, everything's going good, so I must be in God's will. Or everything's going bad, so I must not be in God's will. Or everything's going bad, so I must be in God's will. You know, there's very spiritual, you know, very various spiritual ways that people look at this kind of thing. But circumstances do not indicate one way or the other whether you're following God or not. You know, it's nice when circumstances flow with you and, it, you know, and things are nice. But that doesn't indicate whether you're following God or not. I wrote this down. Everything happens for a reason. I do not believe in coincidence. You know, if you study God and who God is an organized, structured, not rigid, but very structured. I mean, if you tilt the axis of the earth just a smidgen, who knows what would happen to all of us? We may go flying out into space. So God is very, very, I mean, he's very mathematical. He's, you know, the laws of physics are put here by God, and they are true because God set them in motion. So it's not that God is just, okay, let's do this today. Okay, let's do that today. No, I changed my mind. God is not an expresser, okay? Some of you understand what I'm saying by that, okay? He's not just fly by night, not just kind of out there. He's very organized in what he does. So with circumstances, everything happens for a reason, but that doesn't mean that God is speaking or operating in everything that happens. You understand that? Everything happens for a reason, but that doesn't mean that God is speaking or operating in everything that happens, okay? And another way with circumstances is open or closed doors. You know, this door open, this must be God. This door closed, this must not be God. Or this door closed, this must be God. This door open, this cannot be God, you know. So it's what's inside. God speaks inside. We are spirits, and that's where God speaks to us. It may manifest out here somewhere, but it's got to line up with his word and what's in our hearts to know that it's God, okay? Another one is emotions or feelings. You know, it's very dangerous to follow our emotions or feelings. Now, we have feelings. They are given to us by God. We have emotions. Feelings are more subtle. Emotions are more, you know, stronger. But either one does not indicate we are hearing from God. And it's very dangerous, whether it's a positive feeling or a negative feeling. It's very, you know, I've told you this before, that years ago, we know intercession, you know, I was very big into intercession when we first came up here, and for, you know, for a good many years, very strong in intercession. But the way it was taught, it was never said this way, because nobody ever explained the feeling that goes along with intercession. But, you know, I used to feel that if I was anxious, it was God. That was my indication that God wanted me to pray, was because I felt anxious about something. Well, and then God spoke to me, and I remember exactly where I was, and he says, fear never comes from me. I don't use fear. So if you feel fear or anxiety or any kind of a negative unction, and you believe that God is telling you to do something, it's not God. It's you. It's you. I don't know what causes it, what will cause the feeling. I don't know you. But I know God does not use fear. When God wants you to pray, when God speaks to you, it's there, but it's not fear-producing. Now, if you get the feeling from God and you are operating in the flesh, you can take that feeling and you can go into fear. I've done that. But God does not speak in fear. It's contrary to who he is, okay? And God does not speak, you know, I'm happy, so it must be God. No, it's, you know, everything's wonderful, so it must be God. No, it's not positive or negative. Feelings are part of us, they belong to us, but God does not speak. Feelings may come when God speaks. Emotions may be a part of God speaking, but that's, just to look at that, that's very risky to use that. Anything that causes lack. If you would say, you know, well, you know, God wants me to take this second job. Well, how would that affect your family? If it brings lack in any way, if it's going to destroy, you damage your marriage, damage your relationship with your kids, it's not God. You know, what does it tell us in Proverbs? The blessings of the Lord, he makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it. God wants to bless us, prosper us, keep us in health, full of life and grace and mercy and everything, and there is no sorrow. So if there's any sorrow, which means there's lack, it's not God. You've missed it somehow. May not be a big missing, but something's wrong if it's now that's and lack is different than sacrifice. Now you may have a situation where you know husband and wife have it, you know, are talking and you know look at their financial situation and decide, you know, we need to get it, somebody needs to get a second job. Either I need, you know, one needs to get a second job or another job or whatever. And so if we look at it and say, you know, well, if we do that, then, you know, this is going to be a problem. And or maybe, you know, it's or maybe it's something and you decide something you want. You want to start a business. Okay, we look at this. This is going to be a financial sacrifice. Sacrifice is I make the choice to give something up to reach a greater goal. Lack is I don't have any choice. I've lost something. And it may be just energy. What's the point of having lots of money if you're exhausted all the time? You know, that's one of the things I heard recently is that, you know, the lack of energy, that's lack. That's not God. So if you're tired all the time, go back to God and find out where you're missing it, because you're missing it. Because God says no sorrow, and a lack of energy, as all of you can tell, is not a good thing. I'm sure you've all been there if you're not there now, okay? Okay. Another thing is it's not that you not meant for guidance, but realize that if you are in fear or stressed out, you cannot hear from God. The body physically changes. The part of your brain that you're using to think actually changes, and you cannot hear. It's like just your body system shut down because you enter into the fight or flight. And when it's fight or flight, you know, when we're in that state, it's just survival. And you don't hear from God when you're in survival mode. You may remember what God told you in the past and, you know, hang on to, you know, go after anything that you can come up with, any scripture you know, anything that he has done for you in the past. But in the present, you cannot hear from God because your physical body will not allow you to do it. Isn't that interesting? So, if you're in fear, don't expect to hear from God. You know, call on God to help you deal with the fear and the stress, you know? Get the answer for that. But to hear from God on a regular basis, when we're in that state, it's just, we can't hear from God. Okay? Okay, things to help you become successful at knowing and hearing the voice of God. And this is, once again, this is not no big revelation. We've been here before. We'll go here again. But I am going to keep reminding you and reminding you and reminding you, just like Wayne does, because if you want to have a successful life and live life as God has designed it through Jesus Christ, it comes back to basics. God is simple in what he expects from us. It's not complicated. It's not, I have to do all this stuff to hear from God. It's very simple. But we have to do it God's way to make it happen. So once again, we come back to the Word of God. God speaks through the Word of God, but you also need the Word of God to hear God speak. Okay? And focus on two different ways, especially with this, is number one is meditation. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law, in other words, the Word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. Now, prosperity belongs to us. It's not that we have to do something to get prosperity. Jesus paid the price. This is an Old Testament scripture. But the meditation did not go away. We're still supposed to meditate on the Word of God. That's what will bring us life. Okay, another verse in application, James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Just because we have a lot of information, just because we know a lot of the word, does not mean it's going to make any difference in our lives. It's when we start applying to our lives what we know in the Word of God, that's when things start to change. That's when we're more likely to hear the voice of God. Okay? Second one is prayer. And it's part of applying it to this message, lack of a better word, various ones. Praying in tongues, Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues does a lot of different things, but one of the things that makes you more sensitive, makes you more in tune to the Holy Spirit, it makes us more likely to hear what God is speaking to us, okay? Thanksgiving. if you have a negative attitude, you're not likely to hear from God. All you're going to be doing, if we have a negative attitude, all we're doing is focusing on us and our problems and our situation. But the Word of God tells us, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you see, with thanksgiving, and what it's going to do is it's going to guard your hearts and minds. It's going to protect, it's going to offer interior protection when we have an attitude of gratitude. You know, someone always has it worse than you. And that's what, you know, the Lord spoke to me years ago, and it just continually comes back to me, is when I start feeling sorry for myself and looking at things that aren't happening the way I want them to happen, someone always has it worse than I do. And I have God. I have everything because I have God. And it may not be right now, but it will be in the future as I keep following Him. You know, Wayne and I were just leaving Sunnyview the other day, and we saw someone come in, and the situation they were in, you know, we said to each other, praise God, someone always has it worse than we do. Amen. There's always someone. You know, don't feel sorry for yourself. You won't hear the voice of God. Guarantee it. You start just self-pity, it'll kill hearing the voice of God. Another part is meditation. Once again, in the Word, but also Philippians 4:8 in the New Testament, what does it tell us? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Change your thoughts. Train your thoughts. Whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the night, whether it's 4 o'clock in the morning when you wake up and can't go to sleep, train your thoughts. If you want life to get better, if you want to hear the voice of God more often, train your thoughts. Meditate on what God has said, what the Word has said. Change your focus. Next to the last one. Make Jesus your Lord, not just your Savior. Yeah. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. I don't know how. I haven't come up with a way. I mean, I've read people telling you, you know, what needs to be done. I don't have a way to explain it other than making Jesus your Lord. You know, humble yourself. Give up control to God. And I know some people, this can be very hard for people. But when, you know, and I don't believe it's God's way to wait till you're so desperate that it's either, you know, God or die. But that's sometimes, you know, that's what happens. I know I was in a really, really negative, bad state when, you know, I made that decision. God, it's you or nothing. But it's the best decision I ever made. Because life is so much better when God is running things. Because He has all the answers. He knows the beginning, the end. He knows everything. He has all the answers. He's the source of love and peace and joy and prosperity and wealth and health and everything I could ever want. Why wouldn't I want Him to run my life instead of me? Because I guarantee you, if you have not come there yet, you will get to a point in your life where you cannot fix it. That no matter what you do, no matter how, you know, good you have been in the past, but you will reach a point where you cannot fix it. So as wisdom says, turn to God now, give Him control now, and then life will be better from now on. Amen? And the last one, and I don't have a lot of detail for this, but develop your spiritual senses. You know, we have natural senses, 5 natural senses. Well, there's at least 5 spiritual senses, and I don't have all the scriptures to give you. But, you know, things like taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, there's things spiritually that we can experience through senses along with our natural senses. But God wants to speak to us. Many ways He has given us that He wants to speak to us. But it's totally up to us whether we do what we need to do to line up to hear what He has to say. God wants your life better than it is now. I guarantee it. But a big part of that is hearing what He is telling us so that we can make whatever adjustments that we need to make in our life so that He can flow through us as He wants to. Praise God. Let's focus on Him and worship.